The women listened, a newspaper reported, with pensive stoicism, while ordinarily hard-boiled spectators had constant recourse to handkerchiefs to check tears of which they seemed unashamed. How could anyone not cry as Berry took Quinton MacDonald through the fate of her friends? "Were you ever acquainted with Irene Rudolph?" he asked her. "Yes, sir, while I worked in the radium plant."
"Hazel Couser?"
"Yes, sir." "Sarah Mylifer?" "Yes, sir."
"Marguerite Carlo?"
"Yes, sir."
"Eleanor Eckert?"
"Yes, sir." "Are all these people dead?" "Yes, sir." It seems Grace may have indicated to Berry that she wanted to be recalled, for she now retook the stand. She had been staring across the courtroom at the gathered USRC executives, and her sharp memory had snagged on one of their faces in particular. "Miss Fryer," Berry began, after a quick consultation with Grace, "you were examined in the summer of 1926 by Dr. Frederick Flynn, and there was another doctor who you did not know who was present at the examination. Have you seen that assisting doctor since that time?"
"Yes, sir."
"Is he here in the court today?" Grace looked across at the executives.
"Yes, sir."
Berry pointed at the man she had specified. "Is that the gentleman, Mr. Barker?"
"Yes, sir," said Grace assuredly.
"Do you know he is the Vice President of the United States Radium Corporation?"
"I didn't know it then," she said pointedly.
Barker had been there on the day that Grace had been told by Flynn she was in better health than he was. He had stood by as Flynn had issued the diagnosis there was nothing wrong with her. Barker's presence showed just how involved the company was with Flynn's activities. Its own vice president had attended the girl's medical tests. Elizabeth Hughes, the breath test specialist that Berry had employed, was on the stand next. She testified that it was well known that all operatives and all workers should be protected from the radium rays, as almost everyone in the field has hand burns. The newspapers noted of Mrs. Hughes. She exhibited a thorough knowledge of the subject and convinced Vice Chancellor Backus at least that she knew what she was talking about. That, of course, was anathema to the company lawyers. They quickly tried to discredit Mrs. Hughes despite her great experience. "What is your occupation now?" Markley asked her, well knowing the answer. "Housewife," she said, for she was currently caring for her young children at home. And then Markley was off, with question after question to suggest she knew nothing about radium at all. He rather hounded her, undermining not only her qualifications, but her skill in handling the breath tests, until he had backed her into a corner and forced her to admit that she couldn't define an appreciable amount of radium. "All right," said Markley triumphantly. "I am perfectly satisfied if you say you do not know." But at this, Backus once more stepped in. "I want to know what the witness knows," he exclaimed. "Not merely have you satisfied that she says she doesn't know. I think she said a little more than what your characterization would purport." When the lunch recess fell midway through Elizabeth's testimony, it seemed to come as a relief to both her and Berry. After lunch, Markley returned, still in pugnacious mood.
The doctor who had conducted Molly Maggia's autopsy was on the stand, giving his testimony that radium had killed her, and Markley tried to get all evidence regarding Molly struck out, though he was unsuccessful. "I will hear it," said Backus.